All right, if you will, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 11. The apostle writes here, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made freed from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." My title tonight is Motivation and Reward. Motivation and Reward. I hope we can see our motivation to not serve sin and to serve God in righteousness is Christ. And I hope at the end we can see that our reward from serving the Lord in righteousness and living in this earth and Him keeping us, our reward for that is Christ. That's our hope. Now, whenever we first started here together, I began in Galatians. And we laid the foundation there in Galatians, justification by faith. We saw that. Then we transitioned into Romans. Romans is like a more broad spectrum view, but we're seeing what that means, the facets of that. We're freed from sin. And then on purpose, we're in 1 John on Sundays. So sometimes on Wednesday nights, we go through harder things, have a little tougher things to chew, and then come Sunday morning, we see the application of that. We see how that lives out in believers' lives of trusting Christ, loving Him, and loving our brethren. That's what the end result is. But tonight, I hope we can see that the motivation of believers to serve Christ and not ourselves, and that precious reward that's given to us on behalf of Christ's accomplished work in and for us. But Paul's proved in the beginning of this chapter, first part of chapter 6, that justification by faith does not lead those that Christ saved, those that He died for, into further sin. Lord saving us by His grace does not lead us to licentiousness. Grace does not promote or encourage sin to continue, much less abound. In our text tonight, Paul's exhorting us to continue serving our Master from the motivation we are given by the love that is found only in His Son. Paul wrote to that church in Colossians, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's our example. That's our motivation. So Paul's speaking here in verse 11 to believers, those that know the Lord and they have been given spiritual life, to those in Rome when this was written and to us today. It's to them and us. He's speaking to us. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That word reckon there is impute. Count. That means it's already there. And you just happen to see it. Reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He's saying, be as those that were dead in sin, but made alive through the Spirit. You know God, act like it. You trust Him. Act on that trust. Lean on the Lord. How can we do that? How can sin-filled men and women yield ourselves to God and not to our old fleshly nature? How can I do that? There in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Being given grace from God, we are freed from the law. Sin still has a presence in us, but it no longer has a reigning power in us. It doesn't reign over us. With that in mind, what keeps me and you from running wild? What keeps us from going out and... I get asked that often. What keeps you from just going out and robbing banks? I don't know why. I guess they like money. They always ask me if I'm going to rob a bank. I'm freed from the law, so do I go out now and sin? Do I go sin more? No. God forbid, is what the apostle said. Since we've been freed from sin, it no longer has dominion over us. And we now are constrained by the love of God planted in us. Look there in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If Christ had to give me His righteousness, that means I didn't have any righteousness. If He had to give me eternal life, that means I didn't have life in me. I'm a mercy beggar, and He provided that mercy, and now that He's made me aware of that, I'm constrained by love. I love Him for it. Look at verse 15. And that He died for all. That's all of His particular people given to Him. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto Him which died for them and rose again. Look down at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That old nature of wrath in me was replaced by a new nature of love. That old nature of pride has been replaced by a nature of humbleness. I've been humbled by Him. Our motivation of self-serving is replaced with that motivation of serving the One who saved us. All right, back to our text. Now we're going to obey one or the other. We'll either obey our old nature or our new nature. Men and women born of Adam obey the nature that is in them. From birth, we serve sin. We come from the womb speaking lies. But the new creature, that incorruptible seed, it only obeys Christ. It is righteous. It is perfect. And those given life in this new birth willingly and naturally want to serve the Lord. That's our new nature. Every person alive either gives themselves over to sin willingly, or we give ourselves over to Christ willingly. So they're in Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Now, do we turn ourselves over to our sinful desires, or do we submit to God's holy high command? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. One or the other, we will either fully and completely serve sin, or we will fully and completely serve in righteousness to the Lord. Now, this is a proof to men and women that they are saved. Do we still serve sin, or do we serve God? Do we love ourselves and hate God, or do we love the Lord and hate ourselves? It will be one or the other. Now, sin's still present with us, but do we serve it? Is that the dog that we feed? Christ said in Matthew 6, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It is so easy for us to immediately consider fleshly sin when we hear those things. Well, I quit drinking, and now I go to church, so I serve God. Now, that's not the extent of it. That's not what he's talking about. It's not just stopping these outward sins. That'll come, but that's not the extent. Do we still love our will more than the Lord's will? Do we still seek man's wisdom, what I think's right, or do I seek the wisdom of His Word? Do we serve our experiences, or do we serve the truth of the Master's finished work, what He's already accomplished? Do we still come to that throne of judgment on our terms, or do we come to that throne of judgment in the only one that the Father says He's pleased in? We come in Christ to Him, our representative. Do we stumble around in the darkness of our holiness, or do we walk in the light of God's holiness? Which do we desire? Which do we want? Someone may ask, how can I obey righteousness? How can we go from death and sin to life in Christ? Look there in verse 17, Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Ye have obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, obedience to God is a heart work that was delivered to us. Just like a package comes to my house, that obedience was hand carried to us. It was delivered to us. It was opened in us, and we received it. Let's turn over to chapter 7, over one page. Romans 7. The child of God has a new creature in them, delivered in them. But that new creature is housed in this body of death. That sin's still present with us. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, in that new heart. But I see another law in my members. That's the fleshly body, the old man. Warring against the law of my mind. The mind's the new heart. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Old man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. In this new heart, in this new mind I'm given, I serve God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Our motivation to serve the Lord is formed in that new creature in us, the inward man. And to serve the law of God, to believe Him, to love Him, to love our brethren, it's now natural in that new man in us. The new nature that's been put in us, been planted in us, delivered in us. All right, back in our text here in chapter 6. In times past, before the Lord did a work in our heart, we fully gave ourselves over to sin. And it was natural. Now Christ's sheep will just as naturally give themselves over eagerly to serve the Lord. Look there in verse 19. Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. What's that mean? That's a hard thing to read it. I always like it when Paul says, I speak as a man, or I speak after the manner of men. That means he's about to put it in terms I can understand. He's going to put it in shoe leather for us. But he says there, I'm going to make things real simple for you, because in this flesh, it's real hard to grasp spiritual things. It says, for you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Our body's members, like we just read, that's our parts. We live in this body, and that's what the Lord uses as an example. Before the Lord did a work in our hearts, we surrendered our eyes and our ears to sin. We wanted to see things we shouldn't. We wanted to listen to things preaching we didn't need to hear. Listen to anything that wasn't good for us. We gave our hands to work iniquity. Our feet walked in darkness and our mouth spewed blasphemies. We talked about our decisions for God. We bragged on ourselves of what we've done. We talked about our wisdom, how smart we were, how wise we were. But just as those members, physically and spiritually, were given to unrighteousness, Paul says, even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Just as equally as it was natural and fully as you did it before, you gave yourself to sin without thinking of it. He said, just like that, do that in righteousness. Turn yourself over to the Lord. John Guild wrote this, I think it's concerning one of the Psalms, but he said, let your eyes be employed in looking and diligently searching the Scriptures of truth. Let your ears in hearing the gospel preach to you, your lips, mouth, and tongue in expressing the praises of God for what He has done for you, your hands in distributing the gospel and the necessities of the saints, and your feet in hastening to attend on public worship and observe the testimonies of the Lord. That's what that new creature desires. However, this ability is not of us. Those desires and willingness and effort we have to serve the Lord, it doesn't spring out of this old nature. It doesn't grow up out of this old man. Christ speaks this obedience into the heart of His people. He comes in power and He makes us willing to do it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew 6. Just as we used to serve our sinful desires without care and without thought for godliness, so much more should we serve our Master now without care or thought of things of this earth. Shouldn't give heed to it. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's speaking of the unregenerate man there, these Jews. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I pray I could be given the faith and grace to live without caring for this world. I truly desire that. Wish I could live boldly before all men. Truly trust in my Heavenly Father to provide all things for me. Not only just the clothes I wear on my back, but that robe of righteousness He gives me. Wish I could be aware of that, conscious of it. Not only water to drink on a hot day, but the living water He's given us through Christ. Not only the food I need to sustain me till tomorrow, but that living bread that'll give me life for eternity. I want to be bound to serving the one that saved me. When he's shown a believer what he's done for him, that desire is there. We want to be willing bond servants. I want to know him more and I want to trust him more. Our new nature is free to serve him. I wrote that down as one paragraph. Our new nature is free to serve the Lord. Think about that. What a thought. I'm allowed to serve Christ now. He gave me a new nature, and that new nature is able to serve him, able to worship him. I have nothing to worry about. I'm not bound to the law. I'm not bound to this world. I'm not bound to sin. I'm bound to him. I can just look to him alone. That's a blessing, isn't it? All right, back to our text. When we lived in unbelief and had not heard of the saving grace found in Christ, we were not bound to serving him. That hadn't happened yet. We were not motivated to worship the true and living God. We may be motivated to worship a God, but not the true and living God. We were free from him, but we were imprisoned in our sin. Look there in Romans 6, verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When we were in sin, we were completely free. We were completely separated. We were dead to righteousness. We had nothing to do with it. But just the opposite's true now. We are no longer servants of sin. We're made free from sin, and we're made servants of righteousness. We're free from death and partakers of life. We're free from condemnation, and we're the recipients of mercy. Now Paul asks us here, verse 21, do you miss it? Think back to before the Lord saved you. Was there any benefit in it? Was there any fruit growing out of that wicked branch? Any benefit in living for ourselves, serving ourselves only? No. And I'm embarrassed of my thoughts. I'm embarrassed of my words. I'm embarrassed of my deeds, and I don't want to remember them. And I'm thankful the Lord doesn't remember them anymore. I don't want to return to those days. I don't want the good old days. Look here in verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those days, those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The Lord brought us to see that all of our old works and all of our old deeds were filthy rags. All my thoughts and deeds led me only to death. That was the end state. But the Lord Almighty, through His perfect wisdom and providence, led me to know Christ. Knowing the Lord's providence brought me to know Him, I don't wish for the old times. That's what I was thinking. I love the 1950s. Tiki times, and everybody had Hawaiian shirts, especially out here. To me, that'd been fun. Them cars were nice. I like that. That's not for me. How do I know that? Because the Lord's got me here. The Lord's got me now. I don't wish for those old times. There's nothing there but death. No fulfillment there. And you know what? The believer that's living now, that may not know the Lord or just heard of the Lord, this time's for them. Everything throughout creation has led up to bring them under the sound of the gospel so they can hear of Christ. And whenever they grow in the Lord and live, walk with Him longer and see through His providence, His keeping hand, His preserving power, they'll look back and say, I wouldn't change a thing. I like it right now. I know the Lord now. I want to stay right here. When I consider my sin-born nature, not what I do, but what I am. Not what I do, but what I am. My glorying and rejoicing is not of myself when I see what He's done for me, but it's in the Lord. And God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved me, even when I was dead in sins, hath He quickened me together with Christ. I'm thankful whenever someone can say that for themselves. The Lord's given it to them to believe on Him. And they said, He's quickened me. The Lord loved me. He did all this work for me. So what does all this end up? When we see that our whole motivation is the Lord's love for us, what Christ did for us, He's our example. He's the source of the motivation to live for Him, to serve for Him. What does the end of that work do in us? When a saint's set free from the love of sin and the power of sin, we have the fruit of holiness. We now have love, love for our Savior. We now have joy, knowing we're freed from the law, free from condemnation. The warfare is over. We now have peace. We're not warring against God anymore. We have faith in Him. And now we're long-suffering. We can be long-suffering to our brethren. Why? Because He was long-suffering to us. And we have eternal life. We'll live in Him forever. Look here at verse 22, Romans 6, 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. It says there, the wages of sin is death. What's a wage? It's a payment for work completed. It's a payment for work done. And outside of Christ, anything a man or woman does is sin. That's all our old nature does, and that's all the work it can perform. And the payment for that work, that long day we put in called a life, the payment is eternal death. But our God's gift, His freely given gift, is eternal life in His Son. Our works are the works performed by Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the wage paid for that work that Christ accomplished, that He performed, is eternal life, is being conformed in His image, being made like Him. And just like a husband goes out and works, does a job, gets paid, comes home, anything I make, it's hers. It's one. She don't ask me if she can go buy groceries. She goes buy groceries. It's for us. It's one. We understand those things. But we're made joint heirs with Christ, our husband. We're His bride. He did the work, and we reap the benefits. I speak as a man. These spiritual things are hard to understand. I don't fully grasp that. I can enter into it a little bit, but would I walk through this world without a care if I knew what the Lord, His power is and what He's done for me. I pray you're able to be made to see Christ's love for us. His finished work, it is our motivation. And He's not only our motivation, He is the reward. I hope that was a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, forgive us. Lord, forgive our sins. We're so unworthy and so weak, so powerless, we're dead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending Christ, being our propitiation. How thankful we are that He's the satisfaction we have in your eyes. What a perfect sacrifice, Lord. Thank you for His righteousness. Thank you for His holiness. And keep us tuned to Him. Turn our hearts to Him, Lord. Allow us to see your power, your providence, your holiness and wisdom. Let us trust you. What joy and peace we'd have. Let us be long-suffering with our brethren. Thank you, Lord. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.